Well, good afternoon. Good morning. Hi, guys. Man, I just feel so blessed to be here. I really had, Jerry is just, he seems to have just a charm about him that draws people in. And he said, I got a little bit of a little prayer gathering we're going to be doing. You think you want to come? I was like, oh, okay. So I'm here and I'm excited to share with you this morning. Man, what a wonderful time of worship with Michael W. Smith. Wasn't that awesome? I was thinking of Michael W. Smith's lyrics on the way here and what I would say if I was to meet him, and if friends are friends forever, if the Lord's the Lord of them. No, I didn't know, but I'm excited. I feel there's something in my spirit for you this morning, and there's so many great people here, phenomenal people, great leaders you've been sowing into this city, and I feel really kind of behind the curve. And if anything, I could just be here to cheer you on, because many of you have been giving your life for this city and for this cause and what God is doing here in your communities spiritually. Business, wherever you're at. And where's Bob Perry? Where's Mr. Bob Perry? Great guy. Oh, my gosh. And, you know, I feel like Nashville is one of the cities that wants you. And I've wanted a lot of cities. I've traveled a lot, been to a lot of really amazing places. And if I could live anywhere, it would be California. But I chose to live in Nashville. Nashville loves you, and the people here are just amazing, and so I love the energy of this city, and I love what God's doing. In 2004, I had a dream, and it was a dream about Nashville. I was not in Nashville. I did not, actually it was 2003, and I was not in Nashville. I had no connections really to Nashville. I didn't come here. I had no nothing I was sowing or investing in. I was part of another ministry, a missions organization, and we were traveling around the world based in Pennsylvania, Eastern PA. And then the Lord started speaking to me about Nashville, and he told me about floods, and he gave me a dream, and he shared with me that there was going to be floods that were going to come to the city of Nashville. And I saw massive flooding, and I saw devastation, and I saw difficulty. But when the floods would dissipate, I saw revival, and I saw the presence of God, and I saw an outpouring of his presence. And when I came in 2004 to Nashville, I met my wife in this city, and 2005 we were married. I started sharing this with some friends, and we had not yet seen flooding. I was aware of, Nashville's weather is crazy. And if you fly out of the city of Nashville, you have to take early morning flights because there's a chance you're either going to get bumped because of weather, or the flight attendants were partying the night before and not showing up for the flight. But we, so moving here, you're chancing it. And I remember about a year ago moving here, and I told my wife, I don't know if we can continue to live here. It's going to cost me my job because I was getting bumped off of so many flights because of the weather. But, then 2010 hits, and, there was rain, there was flooding, and we still, even though we were moved away, we still owned a condo here that we bought, back in about 2006. And we kept it because we knew there was some unfinished business for us here. There was something for us to do here, something for us to partner with in the purposes of God, and to really cheer God's people on, and to love the city. And I worked downtown while I was here for a couple of years, met my wife, and we lived here for a few years. And then we moved away, pastored in Philadelphia for 6 years, and that was against my will, but God made me do it. And it was, fortunately, I got through that, and I've been in therapy ever since. But then moved away. That was 6 years in Philadelphia, and you think Nashville's hard. Philly is a tremendously difficult city, but we loved it. We enjoyed the people and loved the people and saw miracles and saw growth and watched marriages and babies and all that stuff. That's just an amazing part of life. And 6 years, and we moved away, and then we moved down to South Carolina and started doing some things in regard to media and film, and worked with a good friend of mine, Darren Wilson, and did a couple of years there filming television, doing movies, and got some great stuff, you know, just about the name of Jesus on Netflix, and wonderful, wonderful moments captured. And then God started speaking to us about moving back to Nashville. And so, and I feel, kind of embarrassed because I haven't been here, much. And Jerry knows this. I travel way too much and I'm trying to, you know, eliminate that, but I'm on the road, but I'm here and I'm starting to see the purposes of God, why I'm here. And Jerry has been encouraging me and saying, there's something for you here in this city. And maybe he's just a good recruiter, but I believe it. I believe there's something positive for us to do here. And so we've been here for about a year and just figuring things out. And we don't come in with guns blazing, but we come in to serve and we come in to love and we come in to cheer what God is doing already and to honor. And but I do have something in my heart today. I have something in my spirit to share with you. And there's this interesting thing going on in me about the prophetic, and the prophetic for me has been really a main component of what I do, why I'm here. I feel if I had not met prophetic people or became aware of the prophetic, I don't know if I would be doing what I'm doing today. And Mickey, who's very prophetic himself, and some of the others in here that are very prophetic, and to be prophetic, it's sort of this relational pursuit after God and to be a voice. And I've been around some amazing people and prophets and feel very blessed and challenged still that there's so much to do and so little ground we've covered. And I feel like we've been just kids, you know, playing with toy guns in a really safe setting. And yet there's so much for us to understand about the prophetic nature of God and even the prophetic destiny of this city and how we can partner with God in regard to the purposes and plans of God and prophesy those things, speak those things and speak life, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we have the amazing ability to declare something that is not as if it were, and see things come to pass and be a spokesperson, a voice on behalf of the Spirit of God. And so we are destined for amazing things, but it really starts off with our words. Are you speaking the right words? Because often what we're missing, the distance between where we're at and where we're going, is the words, or the lack of the vocabulary, the lack of the ability to articulate what the vision is and where we see God going. And really, this is about what He is doing, because we're all called according to His purpose, according to His plan, according to His calling. And so some of us in the room, we feel we have a call, but the call is really God's call. It's what is He doing in this season? What is He doing in this hour? And we get to dabble and do amazing things in the midst of that. But we are in, we're taken. We're taken by His Spirit, by His presence. And we're able now to do amazing things because we've been brought in. It says Isaiah 59, I'm going to read this. Then the Lord saw it and it displeased Him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man. He wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, His own arm brought salvation for Him, and His own righteousness, it sustained Him. I'm going to go back to Genesis, and I just feel this in my spirit, that there's this thing about the prophetic in this hour, and we have to begin to understand what the role is. And for many, we've heard prophetic, or we've heard even the word apostle, and it's all become about church governance and how churches operate. But I don't really, I feel like that message is done. I feel like that message is good. It's a great message, but I don't feel like we're changing the world with that message. Maybe we're changing the wineskin of the church, but we're not impacting people outside the four walls with that message. We're just getting a better, more, you know, we're getting a souped up, you know, better looking church model. And I don't know that that's really going to contain the juice. And, you know, because Jesus is about the wine in the wineskin, he doesn't encourage us to eat the wineskin. He encourages us to drink the juice. And so we have to really begin to understand, what is the juice? And I believe God wants to pour out new juice on each and every one of us and really pour out new wine into new wineskins. For that, we're going to have to understand, what's the new wineskin? What is the new wineskin? What does it look like? Why are we still holding new juice in old wineskins, old containers, and it's not working? It's causing damage. You know, some church splits are really the result of new wine in old wineskins. And so we have to really understand we're in a reformation period. We're in a time of reformation. And what does that look like in regard to where we're at right now? And I believe there's something in my spirit about prophetic voices emerging in this hour, not for greater levels of position or rank within the church, but to be influencers in the world, to actually do good things. Jesus, it says very simply, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. It doesn't take, you know, someone highly prophetic to do that. They could just go out and do good things, and God's with them. And so we're sort of in this reformation from a church age to a kingdom age. And it's sort of a tension between the church and the kingdom of God. We're trying to figure out, where's our role, even in regard to the church, and what does the church look like? And everything is up for reformation now. There's so many things. And if you're a fan of podcasts, you listen to, you know, people are talking about things that aren't church leaders. And with the advent of social media, church leaders are no longer the gateway to the people. Social media has eliminated the step that we need to take in order to reach people. Leaders are finding themselves at odds with social media, and sort of being in this place that they once were, and holding the keys to the people's hearts and the ability to bring people in. But now social media has bypassed that. And so now we have all sorts of different prophetic people. We've got, you know, people on YouTube prophets. You know, we've got social media, you know, people saying crazy stuff. And I find it just hilarious. I love to watch it. I think it's entertaining. And but, you know, we have to really get back to what the accurate prophetic voice looks like in this hour. And because a lot of the prophetic, you know, whether it's on YouTube or wherever, is more pathetic than anything. And it's not really prophetic. And, you know, it's more paranoia than prophecy. And people are prophesying and declaring negative things, critical things, and finding ways to cut down leaders, finding ways to find vulnerabilities and weaknesses in people and exploit them so that they gain more followers and more influence. And I don't believe that that's the right way. I believe that the heart of Jesus in this hour is that we would discover what's good with people and pull that out. That's the prophetic. It's to unlock the treasure from within. And so we're going to talk about that this morning, because I believe there's a place for you individually in this amazing call of God in this season. Over the last year and a half, it's been a steady stream of miracles. Something happened, something unlocked in our ministry about a year and a half ago, and sort of this understanding, this awareness of how to operate in this has sort of emerged and really given us language and helped us equip people in how to step into this individually, not just so that we have better church, but we have kingdom influence in the marketplace, in culture. in schools, in your job, wherever you're at. And we are in a time where we have to get outside the four walls, because the primary lead is not going to be within the house of God. In fact, the house of God is going to find itself in a complementary role to society. Actually, understanding that society has, you know, we're called to highlight what God's doing in our culture. We're called to, not to compete. You know, it used to be we would pray, God, shut down this game, or shut down this thing, and let people come to the meeting, and let people come to the revival. And I don't believe that's the heart of Jesus. And we have to begin to understand that we're in a reformation where we're now out in the marketplace, in culture, in society, and we're in Babylon. While people are praying for their promised land, we need to begin to pray for our Babylon. God, what is my Babylon? What Babylon am I called to? What does it look like to be a Daniel, to be a Joseph in Egypt? What does it look like to be an influencer in those places? And some of us, we're going to find ourselves in a transition, in a shift, maybe even from leadership within the church to leadership within the marketplace. And some of us, we might be leaders in the marketplace, and we might find ourselves in a leadership transition from the marketplace to the church. And we have to be comfortable with this switch, with this flip-flop, because how you build doesn't always look like how it ends up. You know, God called Noah to build an ark, and he built it on dry land, but it wasn't destined for dry land. It was destined for water. And so you build something, God's building in you, out of context. It doesn't always look like the framework that it starts off in. It goes into something else, and it's called to something different. And you have to be comfortable with this, with switching hats in a season and going, what I've done in the past is not what I'm doing tomorrow. And are you comfortable? Is your identity so secure in the goodness of God that those things that you did, even the books you wrote or the language you used, all those things that you communicated, you said, this is my life call, that you could go, I'm in a new season. And I'm still who I am. And God is still good. God is still good. And so we're in a transitionary time. We're in a reformation, and the reformation is not just theological reformation. It's reformation in our hearts. It's reformation that begins in the house of God. And so I want to propose to you several ideas, even about the prophetic, that I think is revolutionary, reformational, and helps us understand, because for a long time, and I've been around amazing, amazing prophetic moments and watched incredible people prophesy some of the most amazing things. But I still am hungry for more. Yeah. I'm hungry to see more. The prophetic is wired for three things. Three things. Number one is to reestablish covenant. That it's a call back to the people to come back to the heart of God and to align God's people back to the covenant, the promise, the purpose, everything that is involved in that covenant. And it speaks to people, get your heart back in alignment with the goodness of God. Get your heart back in alignment. Whatever is tearing you away from that, come back to his goodness. Refrain from those things that keep you from his goodness. And step into that goodness with action, with faith that is meaningful display of action. And it's a call to God's people. It gets them back into a place of vertical alignment and also horizontal understanding of relationships around them. That there are covenant relationships that God has designed us to be in. I call it the 5-bar connection. You know, when you have a cell phone and you pay for 5 bars, but you only get 1 or 2 bars, that's a ripoff, right? And why are we living in 2 bars in our connection with God and our connection with others when Jesus has paid for a 5-bar connection? Covenant is such a fundamental, integral part of the message, and it's part of our message, because we're called to walk in covenant, not just with God, but with each other. I really believe that our destiny, what we're called to do, we're often about 5 people away from our full purpose. And those are not stepping stone people. Those are not opportunity people. Those are people that you'll be in alignment with all of your life. Those are people that you're going to call in the middle of the night and say, I need you to pray. Those are people that you're going to lay down your life with and you're going to finance things together. Those are people that you want to go on vacation with. You know, because anybody ever, you know, you're in ministry with people that you would never want to go on vacation with? That's a sign that you don't have covenant. Let's just be real, okay? God's call is a call of covenant, and it reestablishes us, realigns us back to his purposes and plans. The prophetic is there to draw people's hearts. The primary mode of the prophetic is to help people discover what is in their heart and how God sees it. And he wants to draw that out and get people back into the purposes and plans of God in this hour. Number two, the second call of the prophetic is to anoint kings. And this is not gender specific. This is the men and women. This is to anoint kings. And in the Old Testament, there was many moments where the prophetic was, it would come out of nowhere. Prophets would come out of nowhere and anoint kings and appoint them. Bring out a horn of oil. You ever been anointed with oil? It's an ugly thing. I had a friend and he was going to get anointed with oil. His intercessors came around and said, we're going to anoint you with oil today. And he was sitting there with his wife. They were pastors and they didn't know what they were going to do. Cause you know, there's always somebody in the crowd with the oil in their pocket. You know, that person, you know, Jerry, I know you have friends like that, right? And they've had that thing in their pocket for weeks. And then they get it. Somebody who has oil. Ooh, I got the oil. That's their moment. They're like, that's my, yes, for the win. You know, they've been living for that moment. These intercessors walked from the back, the doors of the church swung open and they came in with Costco gallons of oil and anointed the leadership. There's no dry cleaning bill is going to cure that one, but they were anointed, anointing. I love the anointing. I love it. I'm honest about, I love the anointing. I love being anointed. I love living in the anointing. I love living in his presence. What is the anointing? The anointing is God concentrate. It's all of his goodness in one location at one time. When the anointing gets on you, it makes you look good. It makes you feel good. You feel like you could do anything. You can multitask. This anointing is amazing. And when you have the anointing, you feel unstoppable. Psalm 138, David, he says this, you have made me arrogant in your anointing. The anointing puts a confidence in you. It's a boost of confidence. It makes you feel like, oh, I can do anything because of Jesus. He's on my life. I have unlimited possibilities. And the anointing is the very presence of the person of God. It's his Holy Spirit dwelling within us and on us. And he's in us for us, but he's on us for the world around us. I love the anointing. I love it. But there's something that you have to embrace because the anointing can ruin you. If you don't embrace the kiss of God with the anointing, it'll ruin you. And when Saul is anointed to be king, Samuel anoints him and kisses him at the same time. As if to say, in order to live out the fullness of the purpose of God, you have to embrace the anointing and the kiss. You have to embrace God's intimacy, the intimacy that Yahweh wants to draw you into. Because the anointing will make you feel powerful, but it won't give you the heart that you need. It won't make you the leader that's the father, that's the mother, the very heart of God, the nature of God. And so he anoints him and he kisses him. And he says, is it not because the Lord has made you commander over his inheritance? And so he has to embrace the kiss. And the anointing crowns kings and queens. It puts us in places of influence. It puts us in places, positions of power. And I believe in this day, it's not just anointing for licensing and an ordination. What we've been seeing more than ever is anointing to step into culture, to step into the marketplace, to step in, to be an influencer in places that they didn't have access to before. But because of the anointing, it puts them in that place. There was this young man in Texas and he was worshiping, and I saw him tiny little church in Texas, and I just happened to be there on that Sunday morning speaking, and he was worshiping. I don't know him. And I saw him. He got down from the stage. I said, I see you and I want you to know God sees you. And he says, I said, I've got a word. And the word is, you don't just have a voice for radio. You got a face for TV, and you're going to be broadcast all over the world on television in this next season. And he's like, what? And I said, yeah, God will do it. I get a Facebook message from him about 6 months later. And I gave him a date. I said, it'll happen on 11/11. And he says, okay. I get a message around Christmas time at that year. This is a couple years. He says, Jamie, you know, I've wanted to be an actor, and I've never got any part. And he says, I even have a manager. You know, those managers at the mall, you know, and they look, you look like you could act. $250 and we'll set you up. Right. And he's got this manager and he's trying everything and nothing is working out. And he says, I was going to give up, but I saw the date. It was 11/11. I was going to retire this dream, and I saw the date was 11/11, and I said, no, I'm going to believe God's word. God is going to put his spirit on me for this. He says, and Jamie, I'm so excited, because directly after that, I went to an audition. He says, I've never acted a day in my life. I haven't received any parts, not a commercial, not a soap opera, nothing. He says, and I'll be the supporting actor of a major Netflix show in this next season. And I'm working with all of my favorite A-list actors. And he got the second part in the show. And he's like, I'm excited. And I say, come on, man. That's awesome. Don't forget to bring me on set. Crown kings. Kings, you know, we're in a time where we're starting to see the emergence of a new breed of leaders, marketplace influencers, who can wear both the hat of priest and king. We've worn the hat of priest, we know how to pray, but do we know how to be a king in the marketplace? Do we know how to get outside of the four walls and actually do stuff and influence in those places and be, oh, listen, and it's going to take a patience, because what we're so used to is the purity of the atmosphere of church. And when you get out there, it's not like that. And you have to live from this own sense of security in your identity. You don't got a worship band following you. You got no one setting you up. You know, when you're an influencer in the marketplace, you're dealing with people and you don't know where their spirituality is at. They've got everything under the sun. And yet they're still a child of God. How does that make sense? They're still a child of God. And can you live in that place without judgment and without criticism, but only love? Only love. I've got a good friend, Doug Addison, and he's ministering to some lady, and she says, man, you're different. What are you? He says, I'm a Christian. She goes, what? You're a Christian? He says, yeah, I'm a Christian that loves. And she's like, You're a Christian that loves? He goes, I know. There are others out there like us. It's a conspiracy. But if we're going to, you know, we're going to be out in the marketplace, we're going to have to understand God is calling his people to Babylon. And he's calling us to pray that Babylon prospers. God, give me my promised land. And he says, I want you to start praying for your Babylon. God, give me my spiritual Israel. Give me my Jerusalem. He says, I want you to start praying for your Babylon. I want you to go. I've got great friends in Dubai that are right now leading one of the largest churches in Dubai. And they've gone, they've had threats, and they've had the emir, the ruler of the of Dubai actually bring them and said, no, they're protected by me personally. Protected. But it's not because they're not there to be a threat to their economy, their system, their environment. They're there not just to blend in. They're there to stand out, but to be a blessing. How do you stand out? Not just by being aggravating or rubbing against, but by being a blessing. I don't believe we've pushed the envelope as far as it can go when it comes to being a blessing. Come on. It says, when the righteous rule, the city rejoices. And when a king is put into a place of leadership, when a son and daughter step into a place of leadership, the city's going to rejoice. They may not believe the same theology that you do. They may not believe, I align with all of that stuff. But they're going to rejoice because there's favor on you. I believe we're coming into that day where prophets are going to anoint kings. And I'm not just talking about presidents or any of those others. But I'm talking about we're going to anoint people into places of influence. Into places of leadership. Years ago, I was in a difficult moment in the middle of pastoring. I was at the bottom of the barrel. I felt like I had to quit. I called my good friend Randy Clark. I said, I'm done. I can't do it. I feel like I'm broken. I'm cracked. And he said, no, keep at it. He said, get some help around you, but keep at it. And things were over for me. And I remember having this set of dreams. And in this dream, the Lord comes to me and he says, I will open up doors for you. I love it when how God just, he does not regard your circumstance as a threat to the purposes and plan of God. It's like he's oblivious. You ever like go, God, I'm in the middle of a hardship. I need your presence. He's like, oh man, you guys, you're gonna have an awesome future. You're like, do you see me, God? He's like, oh, yeah, just okay, let's just move on. You know. But yeah, you're going to be okay. But what's amazing to me is God, he prophesies to us, and in our lowest moment doesn't change his opinion about our highest potential. He doesn't look at our lowest moment and go, you're disqualified, man. It's over. You know, it doesn't matter whether you've been through divorce or you've been in jail or whatever you've done. What God doesn't look at that. If you've ever looked at the leaders that God handpicks, they're like, man, are we talking about the same God here? I mean, this guy's got, he's got some draft picks that I don't know if I agree with. But he speaks to me. He says, I will open up doors for you. And he speaks in a dream. He says, and I will open up doors to kings and doors to presidents and even doors to other galaxies. And I have this dream. I wake up. I tell my wife. I said, I have this dream about doors and kings and even other galaxies are opening. She looks at me. She says, you need help. She's a powerhouse. And so I go, okay. And at the same, in the same week, I'm praying, I'm going, God, what is it that you're calling me to? And I hear this angel in the middle of the night wake me up. He walks in from one side of the room to the other And he's walking, standing before me, and he makes a declaration. And the hardest thing to do when an angel is in front of you is to pay attention to their words. And he's standing there looking at, and he says, God is going to anoint his Josephs. He will take them out of the dungeon. He will teach them to take one and make it two, and take two and make it four. And he disappears from my eyesight. I knew there was a release of the Josephs in this time from the dungeon. That Josephs, that king, those kings, those leaders, those influencers that have been in the dungeon are coming out. And God is going to anoint them for addition and multiplication. To increase in every way. Wealth, relationships, family, you know, begin to see increase in resources and property and all sorts of different things that God wants to, possessions. He says, you'll possess your possessions. And so I go through this time, this moment where my father, who's a business guy, and I've grown up in a business environment where my father's owned 40 restaurants and been trained to do that. And then when it was time for him to say, here's the keys to the kingdom. And I said, I want to follow Jesus. I don't know how any other way. I just want to follow Jesus. And so I had a good friend of mine who's Joseph himself. And he says, you know what? I think the Lord's calling you to repentance. And I'm like, what do you mean? He says that you're going to follow Jesus and take those keys. Not leave them on the table, but you're going to follow Jesus and say yes to that inheritance. Saying yes to Jesus doesn't mean you leave your inheritance. That you say yes to Jesus. See, our minds have been twisted because of religion. And it's atmospheric. It's not someone came to me and told me that you can't have that. It's part of the culture. And somehow we feel like we got to give up so that we can become nothing, so God can become everything. But God doesn't become everything when we're nothing. He's already everything. Before we were anything, he's already everything. And so I said, okay. So I said, I called my dad. I said, hey, Pops, I need to get my keys back. I'm going to come. And I said, what am I? He goes, I want you to work for me, but if you want to have any ownership in this, you have to work from the ground up. Now on the weekends, I'm speaking at conferences and during the week, I'm there at his pizzeria and his brew pub and pizzeria. And I'm sitting there and I go, what do I do? He goes, you got to work and you got to wash the dishes and you got to make the dough. And you got to do this stuff. And I'm going, man, okay. So I'm sitting there making this dough and wash. I felt like I was undercover boss. People next to me just got out of prison. I'm like, hey man, how you doing? I mean, I was playing not even Christian music, just playing soft, easy listening music. And people are coming to me going, man, is that spiritual music? I'm like, no, it's just not about killing people. He's like, I feel God when you put that music on. I was like, that's just called clean living, man. Okay. But what, I'm sitting there and I'm at the end of my rope because after 8 hours, my body was not conditioned for this type of work. I was on the weekend speaking. They just usher you and it's like they just feed you food, Jerry. They're like, here, open your mouth and then speak. But some things you got to do with your hands. Some things you can't just say. You have to do with your hands. And I was in there kneading this dough, and the dough is all the way up to my arms and 8 hours of this. And my brother comes in and he's looking at me. He's like, you look tired, man. And I'm like, I am tired. And so I get down on my knees and I go, God, this doesn't make sense. I'm in a moment of like, what is this? Why am I doing this to myself? And I said, God, how does this make sense? I get down on my knees and I go, Lord, several years ago, you told me that you would open up the doors to kings and presidents. Several years ago, you told me that Josephs were coming out of the dungeon. Am I a Joseph? What am I doing here? What is this? I said, God, but if this is my life now, I praise you. I'm grateful. I don't know what this means, but I'm going to do it with my whole heart. And my brother goes, let's go. We got to go. You look tired. We're going to go for a run. So we had another late shift. And he goes, we're going to go for a run. I go, okay. And as we're going downtown St. Louis, we're driving downtown St. Louis and we get to Forest Park. And out of my mouth, as I'm staring off into space, I just say, the president is here. And my brother goes, what? And I said, I don't know. It just came out of my mouth. He says, what do you mean? I said, I don't know. So we get out, we're jogging for like 15, 20 minutes, and I'm huffing and puffing, and he goes, take this turn. So we take a turn, and we're running, and all of a sudden you see these black SUVs lining up. And he's looking at me like, what the? And I go, I know, I don't know. What's going on? And he goes, take this other turn. So we take this other turn. And he looks in the middle of the field and he goes, oh my gosh, is that Hillary Clinton? And I go, no, bro, it's Bill Clinton. And I remember this prayer only an hour before where I'm praying, God, you told me you would open up doors to kings and presidents. And I look up, I see Bill Clinton, I go, Bill Clinton! I start running. And I run to Bill, and his secret service is around. There's nobody else there but him and his secret service in the middle of a field. And my brother's running after me, and the secret service pull back their sport jackets, and they have Glocks. And they're like, looking at me. And I go, whoa, hey. I said, Bill Clinton, may I approach you, Bill Clinton? He says, come here. So I come over and I feel this. I feel the Spirit of God. I feel the Spirit of prophecy. I feel it in me. And I reach out my hand and the Holy Spirit says, don't prophesy. And I'm like, say what? See, that's a test. That is a test. Can you live in the kiss of God when the anointing is on you and you choose him? And I put my hand, I go, I don't know what to say, Lord. He just said, honor him. And I said, I want to thank you for your service to our country. And he goes, you're welcome. And we lock hands. And it's odd. It's awkward. He's looking at me. I'm looking at him. I'm like, Secret Service come over, start pushing me. They're like, you're done. And I move on. And my brother says, oh my goodness, you just shook Bill Clinton's hand. I said, bro, let me tell you something. An hour ago, I was praying a prayer. And I knew it was the kiss of God saying that I can open up doors at any time I like. It doesn't matter where you're at or what you're doing. There are doors that he can open up. And I believe it's for anointing kings. It's for crowning kings. It's for positioning kings, rulers, leaders, sons and daughters into places of influence. We're seeing this more and more. People getting breakthrough moments. But it's directly tied to something I've come to realize. And I'm going to read out of Genesis where it says this. Because the prophetic is called to something else. It says this in Genesis. In verse 1 of chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done. He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. And then watch this. This is very interesting. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, or before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. A mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. It had not yet rained because there was no man to till the ground. I believe the primary purpose we were created for, yes, to walk with God, yes, to be in his image and his likeness, but was to work the ground. Work the ground. It's interesting how many what we would call like superhero type people are here in this city. And I feel just as guilty as the rest of them. But yet there's a lack of working the ground. There's a lack of stewarding the ground. Do we know how to work the ground? We know how to pray. We know how to but do we know how to work the ground? We know how to say the right things and be in the right place, but do we know how to work the ground? Because God had not caused it to rain because there was no man found to work the ground. The third purpose, I believe, of the prophetic is to call the rain when the ground has been worked. Say, call the rain.
Call the rain.
Rain comes and responds when the ground has been worked, when there's seed in the ground, when things have been plowed and things have been ready. He pours out new wine into new wineskins. He's not going to just pour it out. We've got to have a container, a capacity to hold the outpouring. And I don't know that there's a big enough container to hold the outpouring, but when we found all the containers, like the widow, when Elisha says, go and find all the containers that you can, because there's a little bit of oil and it's going to multiply. And when she could find no more containers, that was when the Lord multiplied the oil. I believe there's bigger containers for us to build. The ark. That is for the saving of households. But before you could call the rain, you have to plant the seed. You have to build the boat. You have to work the ground. I feel in my spirit we're in a season where we can call the rain. But God's looking intentionally for those that have planted the seed in the right place. Planted the seed. I became aware of something about a year and a half ago that has been shocking me. When I look at people prophetically, I discern where they've planted the seed. And I discern what capacity they have in this season for the rain. And it started about a year and a half ago where I gave somebody a word, and it was about sometime around January, and I said, in the month of July, between July 4th and July 11th, I see it, because I could discern they had been sowing. I said, I see it, but between July 4th and July 11th, you'll receive a financial blessing that is going to change the state of your life. Now, I'm saying this as an illustration, as an example, because it's not about money. It's not, but it does get our attention. And God knows how to get my attention. And I go, man, this is interesting. But I said, between July 4th and July, I see it. There's a blessing coming to you, and it's going to change the state of your life. July 4th came, nothing. They had nothing on the books, nothing that they were aware of. July 5th came, nothing. They started praying. They were believing the word. And July 6th comes, and they get a phone call. There's a sum of money in your name between $300,000 and $400,000. And we need to get your bank account because it's going to be wired to your account. Now, I know what you're thinking. There's a Nigerian prince on the Ivory Coast, locked up in some castle. And in order to unlock the digital code on his door, he needs a large sum of money wired to his bank account. This was not one of those scams. This was for real. And they were able to buy a house. they were able to bless some folks. It was an amazing moment of breakthrough. Things started breaking open. Things started breaking open. There was a pastor here earlier today. I texted him on the way out. And when I first moved here, he got me in his room and he says, "Hey, we're in the middle of a financial struggle. This is my first day of moving to Tennessee. And I'm a minister coming in to speak at a church. And that's not what I want to hear." And I said, "Lord, what do I do?" He said, "Call the rain. Call the rain." And I said, "Oh, there's going to be a large sum of money come to you in one lump sum. Watch very quickly. In fact, you're signing on the dotted line." 3 months later, he called me. He says, "Jamie, your word came to pass. There's a sum of $1.5 million being written out in one check to us directly after this." Things are shifting because we're learning how to call the rain. Can you call the rain? That's the prophetic. Come on, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I believe there's a challenge in this season to speak the rain, to call the rain. I get a phone call from a friend, or an email from a friend I haven't met yet. He says, "Hey, we're excited you're coming into our city. Can you meet with us beforehand at one of the houses that we're staying at?" I said, I don't typically do that. I'll see you at the event." He goes, "Please, we got a big group. We're traveling." I said, "Okay." So we get in. And I just meet these folks. And they said, "Do you have a word for us?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And I said to the guy, the leader, I said, and he's a leader of a spiritual community. I said, "In the next season, you'll be doing a movie. And the Lord will give you all the provision that you need for this movie. And you'll be directing it." And he looks at his friends like, "We don't do that. Like, what is he talking about?" And I get a little message from him in a few months. "Hey, your word came to pass. We're directing a movie. We got a $10 million budget. It's unreal." His wife came up to me after that word. She said, what do you see?" I said, "You'll be getting that horse farm you've been believing for." She said, "Oh, now I know you hear from God." See, we call the rain. I want to do something and prophesy over you that the rain is coming. Some of you in here right now, you're at the finishing touches of the ark you've been building. I mean, you're putting the last nail on this thing. And the rain is coming. The rain is coming. Father, right now, I declare, let it rain. Let it rain in this house. Lord, over every leader here, over every house here, over every influencer here, let it rain. Let the rains come. Let the abundance from heaven pour out unlike ever before. Whew. Oh, more. There's more. You know, I'll tell you this one because I want to raise your faith to another level. I was at a house in Maryland about a year and a half ago, and this guy, he comes to me about a year ago. He says, "Jamie, you've been having a good time at our house?" I said, "Yes." He was letting me stay there. I was ministering at a church, and he says, "My wife, she's been taking care of you?" I said, "Yes. She was making me crab sandwiches every day." I was like, "Praise God." He goes, "Good. I'm just so glad you're taken care of. You like your bedroom?" I said, "Yes, thank you." He said, "It's our master bedroom. We gave it to you. Everything was special. They had like a heated blanket." I was like, "This is awesome. I could stay here forever." And he goes, "You know, Jamie, I'm so glad you're taken care of. And, you know, I was reading in the Bible today." He says, "If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. Do you know anything about that, Jamie?" I said, "Yes, I do. I got you." It was Father's Day. I said, "Tonight I'll minister to you." I said, "Watch this. In 3 weeks, you'll receive a large sum that will give you a certification that will send you around the world. And from there, you'll begin to do new business and your family will be blessed and you'll travel together." He was working for a company, driving the bus for this company, taking people from the parking lot to their workplace back. And he says, "In 3 weeks, I got a $30,000 grant for an education from his company." They said, "You could take anything you want, do anything you want with this." He said, I got a certification in real estate that was another level of real estate. And from there, we traveled, and I secured millions of dollars worth of deals. And now I'm working on a deal in downtown Chicago that's over $200 million. And he says, I want to thank you. See, the thing is, it's a blessing. We get to call the rain. We get to call the rain. I feel like some of us in this room right now have been stopping the rain short. Because as Elijah said, it'll not rain except at my word for these 3.5 years. Let's just repent for causing a drought, a shortage, not only in our city, but in our families, in our lives. Father, right now, we repent. God, we just ask you, Lord, just to change our tongues. Lord, where we've been double-minded in our speech and not blessing, Lord, but cursing. Lord, we just thank you for your joy. That you're so good, you're so kind, you're abundant. Ha! Woo! That there's abundance in this house, Lord.
Yes, there is.
And from that place of abundance, we can speak and prophesy it. Whoa. Jerry, I feel this is on you to steward the rain. To call the rain, to steward the rain. You have the Old Testament prophet look. I mean, I feel like there's a staff in your hand that God has put in your hand to call the rain. And that leaders in this house, as they're coming together in Worship City Alliance, are going to come to you for you to call the rain on their ministry, call the rain on their workplace, call the rain in their businesses, call the rain in their family environments. Where there's been drought and shortage and famine and pestilence, and that you're going to break open the windows of heaven through the prophetic word that God puts upon you. And you're in a time and season of great increase. You're in a time and season of great influence, and influencers are going to be adopted by you. You're going to begin to see a spirit of adoption come upon these influencers, and that you're going to adopt them one by one. They're going to be in the 30s and 40s and 20s, but you're going to start to see a spirit of adoption as you reach out and touch their heart with the prophetic word that's on your lips. Watch God begin to pull the best out of them for this season, for this time. Wow. There's vision. There's new vision on you. And I see like laser-like focus. God's beginning to highlight vision. Even in this, over this, the month of August is going to be a time of vision. The month of August is going to be a time of preparation for the vision. To write the vision down, to make it plain, to make it readable that who runs may read it on the run. And so, Father, right now, we thank you for Worship City Alliance, for the blessing that's upon Jerry. In this house, Lord. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Papa Don, we bless you and honor you in this house. And you know, the things that you've been doing for this, I'm just a cheerleader, man. I'm just cheering you on and others that have gone and sown and you know, it says, you know, be imitators of those who by faith and patience have obtained the promise. And, you know, a generation is going to see your has seen your leadership, has seen your life, has seen the witness, and they're going to be imitators of the good things that God has done in your life and through you. And I just see the next generation. It's the next generation of sowing into the next generation. And they're going to hoist you up. They're going to lift you up on their shoulders. They're going to lift your arms up in a time. And you're going to see the strength of this next generation catapult you into another 10 years of solid outpouring. And so, Father, right now, I just bless the strength, the vitality in him, Father. Right now, we bless him from the top of his head down the soles of his feet in Jesus' name. Ooh, come on, let's just celebrate that right now. Wow. Jesus, you're so good. You're so good. You're so good, Jesus. You're so good. You're so good. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, and for this event, Lord, with I just feel like August 30th, this thing with Michael W. Smith is going to release not just an outpouring of presence, but it's going to inspire a generation of worshipers. And I see like the seeds that are going to come down from heaven will be worshipers. They may not be worship leaders, but they'll be worshipers. And they'll be writers and influencers and songwriters. And I believe that we're going to see it not only in the house of God, but we're going to see it on the stages, on TV, around the world. The American Idols and the X Factors and all the. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Michael W. and his family, Lord. We bless them, Lord, in this amazing thing that you're doing at Bridgestone. Lord, we ask you for the outpouring of your presence in that house. Outpouring as people gather and seek your face.